Some of you may know this story, but when one of our friends here lost her husband and her son, she had to make the very hard decision to immigrate to America to protect her family. And before leaving her little town, she sought advice from the pastor of her small Baptist church, and he told her, "Don't worry, the church will help you." And after their long journey, she and her family waited on the Mexican side of the border. And there, while waiting, someone told her, "No one is going to help you in America." But she clung to the words of her pastor, "The church will help you." So once she finally crossed the border, a volunteer from a shelter found her and took her to the family, and took her and her family to Iglesia Bautista West Brownsville, the Baptist church in West Brownsville. And there our friends, Pastor Carlos and Pastor Jorge, received them into their shelter. The church ministered to her and her family. And knowing that she was a perfect fit for the Naomi House, Pastor Jorge called me. And that was the opening of the Naomi House and Day Springs' next step in extending hospitality. The Bible is very clear about God's heart for widows and orphans and foreigners. Almost 90 times it's talked about throughout the Old and the New Testament. God's people are instructed to care for the vulnerable as a demonstration of what it means to live out God's love and covenant. So these virtues take on flesh in the book of Ruth today. It's a quiet little book positioned right after the book of Judges in the Old Testament. And the book of Ruth begins like this. "In the days that the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land." Now the phrase, "in the days that the judges ruled," is loaded. You only have to turn the page once to find out why. The very last verse in Judges states, "In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit." It was a time of lawlessness and violence. It was chaotic and dangerous, and there seemed to be very little reverence for God and little sign of God's presence in the world. And in this chaos, there was also a famine in Bethlehem, which is ironically, Bethlehem means the house of bread. So Naomi's family makes the very difficult decision to flee and to migrate to another country. I can't imagine what that conversation was like. "Come on, kids, let's pack the donkeys. We're going to Moab." I can imagine the teenage son saying, "Anywhere but Moab. No, please, not Moab." No one ever wanted to go to Moab. It was a treacherous journey across the desert to a barren land, and worst of all, Moab was a sworn enemy of Israel. But like many other biblical families, and like many families today across the world, they had to migrate to save their family. While in Moab, Naomi's sons grow and they marry, but then tragically, Naomi's husband passes away and then her sons do as well. Grief-stricken and in a foreign land, Naomi and her daughters-in-law risk falling into abject poverty. And once again, Naomi makes a very difficult decision to migrate and go back home to Bethlehem. Releasing her Moabite daughters-in-law from their contractual obligations, she blesses them, urging them to go home to your mothers and start a new life there. And there's no shame in Orpah going home to her mother. Even though there had been a dowry contract, she was fully released and blessed by Naomi. Naomi had no claim upon her. Ruth, however, she does the unexpected And she insists on staying with Naomi. She will not turn back, and she will not go home. And she is a hero in this story, and her commitment to Naomi and God is remarkable. In this commitment, Ruth promises, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." And I think a promise like this must have come as a response to the years of love and fellowship and nurturing that she had received with Naomi's family. Ruth, the outsider, is choosing to follow God, a faith that would have been very foreign to a Moabite. And so together, the two of them continue their journey to a very uncertain future. Will they be received or shunned? Will they survive? Can they make a future for themselves in Bethlehem? And these are some of the same questions that many people ask today as they seek refuge in a new country. Naomi, which actually means pleasant, is grieving and empty. And so when she arrives in Bethlehem, she changes her name, saying, "Call me Mara. I left full, and God has brought me back empty." Mara means bitter. And so in her grief and bitterness, she expresses this pain before God and the people of God, the community there in Bethlehem, and they hold it with her. Now, some have gone on to question Naomi's motives by the way that she helps Ruth find a husband in Boaz later in the story. But what if Naomi is also a hero? Naomi demonstrates great virtue and character. She's poor, she's alone, and she takes on another mouth to feed on the long journey back to Bethlehem. She risks bringing a Moabite, an outsider, back to her community, knowing that she will have to convince them to accept Ruth. She may have to find a way to provide for Ruth. And in her grief and in her bitterness, Naomi introduces her widowed daughter-in-law to her community in Bethlehem. And through all of this together, she and Ruth develop a restorative partnership. It's a beautiful story. But don't be mistaken, this is not a Jane Austen love story that we might want it to be. This is not Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet. Boaz and Ruth do not run to each other in the rain and embrace, and they don't see each other across a field of wildflowers and embrace in this romantic display of love, finally at last united. And it may not really fit our modern sensibilities, but it is still a beautiful story of faithfulness. So when the world was lawless and chaotic, a small community in Bethlehem continued to follow God's ways. The people of God in Bethlehem demonstrate surprising chesed love towards these women. The community protects them, following God's commands in Deuteronomy to care for the widow and the orphan and the foreigner. The community lets them glean extra grain and food from the fields. They work to help secure a future for Ruth and Naomi. And then Ruth and Boaz marry, and Ruth has a baby named Obed. And then the entire community rejoices together. The women, scripture says, they surround Naomi and they praise God with her, for God has turned her bitterness into joy. And there's singing, and there's laughter, and there's dancing, and there's thanksgiving. And then Obed becomes the father of Jesse, who becomes the father of David, who is in the lineage of Christ. Chesed love is the common thread that runs through this story and may very well be the main hero of this story. Chesed is one of those Hebrew word for love. And it's not the kind of love like, "I love ice cream," or "I love dark chocolate," and it's not a romantic kind of love. And so it can be difficult to translate hesed into English. Hesed means covenant faithfulness. It means completely undeserved kindness and generosity. It's an active love that intervenes. In the book of Ruth, somebody even described hesed to mean love that acts in solidarity. So Naomi asked God to bless Orpah and Ruth with hesed love. And Ruth and Naomi and the people of God and even Boaz all demonstrate hesed love in this book. And each of them takes significant risks, entering into a restorative partnership with each other. And it is in these partnerships that God restores their lives, turning chaos into grace. As Naomi saw that Ruth was determined and chose to walk with her, so we too have seen the determination of our neighbors seeking asylum, and we choose to walk alongside of them. Naomi took Ruth back to her community, and the community demonstrated covenant faithfulness to these women. And so now you see why Day Springs Hospitality House is named Naomi House. The book of Ruth begins in chaos, in a time when God seems silent. And we too may wonder where the presence of the Lord is in these days. Jacques Ellul, a French philosopher, wrote at the end of the 20th century that God has been largely silent in the West, absent on a collective level. And now in the 21st century, with famine in Sudan and Gaza, war in the Middle East and in Ukraine, rampant violence and lawlessness in Central America, and extreme division even in our own country, it can feel like that sometimes. But as in the time of the judges, when everyone did as they saw fit, the book of Ruth was a reminder that God acts in the human hesed. In the human display of love and action, God is there. This is a story focused on women and faithful love when women were rarely the subject of a good story. And here, God is experienced not in the mighty acts of kings or valiant battles, not in the parting of the sea or in judges or in prophets. God is present here with very ordinary people in quiet acts of solidarity and love. God is present in covenant faithfulness of a community who receives in hospitality two widows and sojourners. God is present, turning bitterness into restored life. God is present, turning barrenness into fertility and emptiness into fullness. And in this ancient work, God acts through the very ordinary faithfulness of a community of God. This is also true for us today. God can be found in demonstrations of faithful love in action with the marginalized right here among us. In fact, today, two separate women and their children are on their way to Waco, and the Naomi House will receive them tomorrow evening. And this week on the phone with them, they both expressed overwhelming gratitude that the church would open its doors to them. Both are tired and at the very end of their abilities and resources. And one of them said to us, "I will not let you down. I need to be with Christians." Love put into action, hesed love, and faithfulness of this sort comes with a risk. Everyone in this story risks something in demonstrating hesed love. Ruth risked her future and gave up her home. Naomi risked not being able to provide for Ruth. And Boaz risked his reputation. The community risked investing in people and sharing some of their resources. So what are some of the risks for us when we share faithful love in action? It may be time or convenience or simplicity. We might be challenged to change and to grow. We might have to learn a new way of being in the world, new perspectives, new attitudes. The risk that the community in Bethlehem took to welcome a foreigner in, to share life with her, eventually resulted in David, the future king who brought needed change to the country. In fact, the entire redemption story of Christ hinges on the people of Bethlehem receiving a foreigner and welcoming her in. So sharing our lives with the marginalized can yield beautiful and regenerative partnerships that we may never have known we needed. Often our neighbors seeking asylum bring with them a vibrant faith that has been tested in ways that we cannot fathom. And for all the talk of the decline of the church in North America, contrasted with the growth and explosion of the church in the global South, maybe there is something we can learn. They may just bring a faith to us that could re-energize the North American church if we will open ourselves in hospitality and Hesed love. For it is in these partnerships that God remakes lives and families and communities. And we also get the privilege of seeing God at work in quiet and surprising and healing ways. So when God's community demonstrates unfailing, active love and faithfulness, lives and communities are restored into God's narrative of grace. May it be so for all of us.